I love doing that. I love doing that.
Buenos dias, mi familia. Oh, so good to see everybody. Happy Father's Day. And based on the beef jerky and donuts, today's service is sponsored by Lipitor. Lipitor cholesterol medicine for all of you. And oh, my word. Man, my prayer is every Sunday that God refreshes you and brings some good news, because that's God. He's the one who brings life. And so we're looking at the book of James and studying it because it is the book of people who are going through hard situations and are weary, and yet God brings them life and joy. And so we're going to be in James chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through 18. We're going to look at the first section, James 1, 1 through 18. And probably the best way to get you ready to understand what James is talking about is a game as a dad I used to play with my kids. Anybody ever play the game, Would You Rather? Would you rather, right? No? Okay, the whole idea that you've got to choose between two things and you have to choose one of them. And they're either two things you, neither of them you really want, or they're two things you really want. And choosing kind of shows how you're different from somebody else. That's the game, Would You Rather. So let's practice, okay, right now. So would you rather, all right, these are ones I do with my kids. Would you rather have no eyebrows or one eyebrow? All right, raise hand. No eyebrows? No? So I'm thinking no, because then you just fill them in, right? Okay, let's go. All right, no? All right. Chocolate ice cream or vanilla? What do we got? Okay, we got a lot of vanilla. Okay, chocolate. Yeah. All right, I don't know who put this one in my notes. Would you rather go bald or be forever cursed to have terrible haircuts? Who put that one in there? That's. What's the point? Okay. Would you rather be stuck on an island alone or with someone who talks incessantly? Alone? How many alone? Do I got any incessantly? Like, my theory is you're the incessant talker. That's why you're putting it up there, because like you don't want to be alone. You want someone to talk to. This one's pretty revealing. Everybody's got to make a choice on this one, okay? Would you rather take a guaranteed $100,000 or a 50-50 chance at $1 million? How many guarantees? How many guarantees? How many? Give me 50-50. I'm going for big money. All right. All right. That shows you something about people. Aren't you a banker? Should you be doing that? Is that? So the whole idea of the game is that choosing between two hard things reveals something about you. That's actually where James is going in this passage. It starts this way. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered. They're not in a place they want to be. Scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. What's this word right here? Not if, but when you face trials of any kind. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James is talking to a group of Christians that don't have a choice about what they're going through. And here's the interesting thing. They've been walking by faith in it. So they're actually kind of surprised that after walking by faith, that they're still in this position. And James is kind of going, look, this is a would you rather moment. It's not an if moment. It's not do you get to choose. It's how are you going to choose to walk through what you're walking through. Now, this idea of scattered among the nations, the 12 tribes, the Israel was known as people that weren't just living in Israel, but this word scattered is actually specifically referring to what a group of people James is writing to is going through. Because in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. See, if you remember last week, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who didn't even believe in Jesus when he was growing up with them, but after the resurrection came to know him and became faithful to the family of God in Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, he was a leader, there became this persecution. All these people who chose to have faith in Jesus all of a sudden had more trouble, not less, in their life. And in that, they ended up having to scatter and go to different places. Now they took a step of faith. Okay, I guess God wants something different from me. But when they got to that different place, what happened? They just were surrounded by trials again. So James is writing to a group of people who are thinking, God, like, I already followed you by faith. Why hasn't this worked out yet? He's talking to a group of people. This word face in the Greek is actually, it literally means to fall among. It's kind of like if you ever saw an Indiana Jones movie where Indiana Jones falls into the middle of a group of snakes. It's like it's all around you. That word there is when you fall into trials that are all around you. He's talking to people that have chosen to have faith in Jesus, and yet that faith has not resulted in the answers they thought they were going to have. But he says, look, consider it pure joy because what you're going through is going to lead to a testing of your faith, and it's going to produce a perseverance in you. It's going to produce something good. He goes on to say this. This is the rest of the passage. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. You think you're scattered, you're getting less, it's going the wrong direction. I'm telling you, God is working, if you'll persevere, to get more, not less. You're going to become complete, not empty. But this is a test of faith. Now look, I know because that you thought by now things would work out a certain way, I know that you've got questions. So if any one of you lacks wisdom, ask God, because he wants you to discover his goodness more than you want it. He already gave his son. So if you need wisdom about, but God, I don't understand why I'm here and what to do, just ask him, and it will be given to you. But hey, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Now, that's not saying you don't have questions and you don't have answers. It's saying don't say yes, but then go do something else. It's like if you want him to have the answer, then follow his answer, okay? Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to eventually arrive at the good place because they're double-minded and they're unstable. One day they're saying, yeah, I'll follow you. The next day they're saying, no, I think I'll follow this way. What's the sum total? Zero. They don't get any place. Then he says this, blessed is the one, verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive, it's a guarantee, the crown of life, important phrase there, the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. All right, that's one way it could work out, resulting in the crown of life. Here's your would you rather. You could have it this way, or when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, instead of a crown of life, gives you what? The curse of death. Don't be deceived. Even though this far you thought things would work out, even though you're still in a scattered position, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is still from above. Persevere and stick it with him. Stay with him. It's coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Let's pray. Lord, you have promised to be good. I know many of my brothers and sisters here today They've had faith, but they're in that place like the people James is writing to. I thought by now I wouldn't be so scattered. I thought by now I'd have more answers. Lord, thank you that you know where we are and you are going to show us the path forward today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You know, when I first walked with the Lord and I read Romans 1:17, it says the just shall continually live by faith. Romans 1:17, continually live. I was the kind of person that thought it said the just shall initially live by faith. Like, because when I grew up watching movies where the hero had to have a big moment of faith. It all came down to the final battle or the final fight. And you just had to have faith that love would prevail and it all work out. And then it worked out. And then what happened? Everybody lived happily ever after. I kind of got this picture of life that you have faith once, and then once you have it, then you don't need it anymore. But the Bible shows us that real faith, the faith that brings us to Jesus, is something we always have. And that when we live out faith right, it leads to more faith. When we live out right, we go from, all right, I have faith, and I get to a new spot, now I'm like, I think I need more faith than I've ever needed before. And sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we get discouraged because we think, well, wait a minute. I thought when I had that step of faith, now I wouldn't need faith anymore. All the answer would be right in front of me. It's like, no. No, that's not how this goes. The just will not initially live by faith, but continually live by faith. James is talking to people who thought, I thought by now I wouldn't need so much faith. Why is it always still the next step? And James is saying, hey, consider it joy. Jesus already gave his life for you. If he already gave his life, if he already chose to give you new birth into truth, he's not going to stop there. You're still in a process. You're still in this life where you have to trust. But sometimes when we're like the people that James is writing to, and we're starting to get tired, and we're getting disappointed, and it's not turning out the way we thought it was going to turn out, we start feeling tempted. You know, maybe this way isn't the right way. Maybe I got to just do it my own way. Corrie Ten Boom once said, when you're on a train and it goes into a tunnel and it's darker longer than you thought, it's not the time to rip up the ticket and jump off the train. What you got to do is stay in your seat and trust the engineer. And there's sometimes we walk through really dark, hard times. And we're living by faith because we're not seeing the answers we want. And James is saying, hey, hold on to your joy. Don't be deceived. God can't help but be good to you if you'll just persevere. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Right? God's so good. And so James actually gives us a would you rather. It's not, you've got to make a choice. You can't pretend you're not where you are. But here's the choice to make. Most biblical scholars will tell you that the most interesting fact of the Greek language in this section is this, that the word trial and the word temptation are the exact same word. So when James is talking about a group of people who have problems in front of them, he uses one word. He talks about it. He says, hey, you can be blessed if what you're going through is a trial. And then he says, same word. He says, but if you're going through, if you treat it like a temptation, that's not going to result in something good. James is giving us a would you rather. How are you going to take one thing and are you going to make this choice with it or that choice with it? This word piera, it's actually where we get the word experiment. It's that root word. It means an attempt to learn the true nature of something or to learn the true nature of someone by submitting it to extensive testing. When we raised hands about like 100,000 or a million, we learned a little something about you. It's like, oh, as they made a choice in that moment of testing, in that moment of choice, something came out. Well, James is saying, look, James is saying, remember, he was the half-brother of Jesus, all his life didn't even believe in Jesus, didn't understand all the things and the things Jesus was doing until later on, and then he looked back and said, oh, now I get it. Well, James is saying sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, walking a life of faith with Jesus, you understand when you look back, but not for a long time. You've got to be faithful to keep going. And when you come to a trial, when you come to a test, you can treat it like a trial, or you can treat it like a temptation. If you treat it like a trial, you got a painful problem. It's there. You got to do something. You got a would you rather moment. If you treat it like a trial, that leads to more mature faith, which leads to more of God's goodness. Faith is always the key to everything good God wants to give you. If you have a problem and you treat it like a temptation, it's a temptation to stop persevering with God. It's like, you know what? I think I'm going to stop having faith in him, and I'm going to start having faith in myself instead. So two people can have the same problem. One can receive a crown of life, and one can experience the curse of death. Why? Because of faith. So what's the one thing Satan wants out of you? He wants to weaken and steal your faith. He wants you to look around after you've had faith, after you've taken a step, and then you took another step of faith, say, hey, I still don't see any answers. What does James say? Hey, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is still found by him. So James actually draws out a path so you can end up at the crown of life, or you can end up at the crown, at the curse of death. He said, right? He said, look, when you have a problem, count it joy, make a choice to persevere with God. And that perseverance will lead to you becoming complete. And those who persevere, verse 12, those who persevere will end up receiving the crown of life. Like you're in this moment where you've got this choice. Keep it a trial, not a temptation. Because what does he say in verses 12 to 13? He says, look, sometimes by that desire, it turns evil and you choose sin. And when you choose sin, then life becomes more undone. Instead of more complete, you become with more holes and problems in your life. And eventually, it fully grows into death, and that whole relationship, that whole situation, now it's just, there's no life in it anymore. James is saying, would you rather? He's not saying if, but he's saying, since you are in a place of problem, problems create needs and desires. I wish. Man, I just need this to be done. I need this answer. Hey, with that need or desire, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to choose to go this way to the crown of life? Is it going to be a trial? Or is it going to tempt you to say, you know what? Nothing good comes from God. He can't be trusted. I haven't gotten anything so far. I think I'll go my own way. Think about Jesus, who went all the way to the cross, trusting the Father. All the way to the cross, despite the pain, who's saying, hey, follow me. Be willing to follow me. Now, what is this choice? It's a choice of faith, but there's something very specific about this choice that James says that is key to choosing life instead of death. And it's hidden right in verse 13. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who, when you're in the middle of a painful problem, your choice is, who are you going to love more? Do I love myself more, or am I going to love God more? And this is where I want to get super practical with you. When you're in the middle of a hard thing and you got people that are persecuting, or you got a situation that's unfair, and there's different things going on, we tend to want to ask the question, what will work for me? But the real question to ask is, God, what does it look like to love you in this moment? In a painful problem, faith asks, what does loving God look like? Not what will work for me. I think I've mentioned, as a leader in the church, I do counseling twice a month as part of staying healthy. My counselor said, Sean, you know, when you face a problem, you got to ask two questions. One, like, and you're thinking about an option. One, is it true? And two, is it helpful? And three, is it healthy? Like, you can choose an answer, and it's not really helpful, and it's not really healthy. You got to choose an answer that is something that God wants. And when we get in the middle of painful problems, we've got to ask the question, God, there's all sorts of things I'd like to change, but my first question is, how do I love you in the middle of this? Because that's all God needs. Whoever we love the most, we trust the most, right? And so what does the would you rather moment be? Is? What is it? Who do you love? You going to just do what's best for you right now? Or are you going to say, God, I know you love me, and I've got faith. I don't understand why this hasn't figured out yet, but I choose to love you instead of be tempted to go do something different. That's what this passage is about. And what James is really bringing it to is this moment. Since Jesus already won the victory on the cross, in faith I know that trials are just trails to God's goodness. They are not threats of my future. I don't deal with things because I'm afraid that I'm not moving forward. Jesus already took care of that for me. I'm going to treat this moment not as a threat, but as a trail. That's why James can say, hey, consider it pure joy. He's kind of saying, like, you should be like a kid who's waiting for Christmas morning. You don't see it yet, but there's a gift coming. God's going to be good. Trials can be trails. It's just a matter of where you put the eye. When you put the eye first, that doesn't work out very well. When you put the eye second, it becomes a bridge. That's what God wants. And so you and I, we're in the middle of things that are hard. The question is, am I going to put myself first, or am I going to put God first? What did Jesus do for us? Putting himself behind loving the Father all the way to the cross. And it created a hardship in this world that turned into eternal greatness. That's what God is doing in you and I. He wants to say, look, this painful problem, let it be a trail, not a temptation. Choose again. And I just feel like this morning, trials, they wear us out. And when they wear out, we just start thinking, okay, well, what'll just work? And God's calling us, no, not what works. Love me right here. Love me in the middle of what you're at. And I promise I'll be good. And I'll promise I'll give you, as we sang, more than you asked for or even imagined. That's what faith is about. So James says, treat it like a trail. Follow it. Keep on the joy that there's something good at the end of it. Because God will be faithful. If you don't know what to do and you're like, well, I don't know what to do, then ask. Step forward in prayer. Today as we finish, step forward in prayer. Say, I just need God to show me the way to go forward. Maybe it's the issue of you need to step away from isolation. You know, temptation happens when we're all by ourselves and it's like, well, I think this works for me. You ever make a decision all by yourself and then when you tell someone else, it's like, why did I make that decision? It's because you were thinking all by yourself. You want to step away from isolation. We're going to do the small group fair. And that's a great time to find a place that God would have just for a season, a few weeks. God, help me know you more and step out of my own thoughts. And then this issue of step with your Heavenly Father. I mean, again, James finishes this section saying, don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is coming from your Father in heaven. Don't be tempted to walk away from him, even though it's been longer than you thought, because our God will be faithful. You know, I was thinking as we celebrated Juneteenth, which is such an amazing historical event that reminds me of everything we celebrate at the gospel, right? It's very true that someone won our freedom on the cross. You know, lots of people don't know they're free. I mean, Juneteenth is like an amazing little analogy of what we believe. And I started thinking about our country's history and struggle with slavery and the struggle to go from slavery to freedom. And I started thinking about the Underground Railroad and Harriet Tubman. Do you remember the story of how slaves from the South went from slavery to freedom? Do you remember when, in the course of a day, when was the best time for them to escape? It was at night. It was when things were dark. That was their best chance to escape. But the problem was, these slaves that shouldn't have been slaves, their only way to follow the trail to freedom, like, the problem was, they couldn't read or write. So it's not like they could look at a map and know which way to go. So if you're familiar with the story of Harriet Tubman, if you're familiar with the story of the Underground Railroad, what was the key? In the middle of the night, what were they looking for? They were looking for the North Star. You didn't have to read all the instructions to know how to get to freedom. You just had to know how to make your decision. Just follow this North Star. And look, I think that's exactly what God's saying. It's like, maybe you're in the middle of darkness. Maybe you can't see your answer yet. And you're trying to go from slavery to freedom. And you haven't read this whole thing yet. Hey, all you got to do is follow the star. What would it look like for me to love you, God, right now? If you'll follow that star, you'll get to freedom. And that's what God wants for you. Is it a long journey? Yeah, it is. That's why James is writing this. Because there's some people who stopped having joy in the one who saved them. Because they stopped having joy because they just never felt like they were, why are we still scattered? Why am I seeing my answers? God's like, no, come on. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift. If I gave my son on the cross for you, do you think there's anything I'm not going to give you? And so I think this morning is just getting back to that North Star. Instead of me thinking what's best for me, instead of me thinking what will work for me, I'm not going to be tempted with that. I'm going to say, Lord, how can I love you right now? I'm telling you what, there's freedom. There's freedom in that decision. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're just going to close in a moment of prayer. And I think this morning I'm going to ask the elders and any other prayer partners that we usually have if they'd come up. And I just feel like for this service, I feel like there really needs to be a moment of just stepping in faith. And I want to encourage you. God knows where you're at and what you're going through. And so we're gonna take a moment, do it a little different than the last two services. We're just going to ask the Lord to guide us. And to, James is the one who said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, that they would be anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith would heal the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. That's God's promise this morning. If you need healing, I want to encourage you in this next moment to come up. And maybe you just need a moment to say, Lord, I need your strength again. I've gotten a little weary on this journey. And I need to turn back to loving you more than myself. So Lord, we just ask right now for humble hearts. You didn't come here for us to have a religious service. You came here so we would meet with you and we would find freedom with you. As your heads are bowed right now, if you would just say, Lord, I just need more strength. I need a first love. I need to get back to loving you. Whatever that expression is, would you just raise a hand? Do a would you rather right now. Say, God, I'd rather have you. I'd just rather have you. Don't be afraid. Just make it a motion of freedom this morning. God, I choose you. God, I want to love you in the middle of what I'm going through. Lord, forgive me for so focusing on what would work for me that I've forgotten you. Holy Spirit, come right now. There might be a few others. Just don't let those hands be bound this morning. Let them be free this morning. God, I choose you. I choose you, God. I need you this morning. Lord, I just know that you sent this word for some of my friends here today, that they wouldn't give up, that they wouldn't just turn, they wouldn't be tempted to just turn to their own answers and their own wisdom. They would keep asking you. They keep seeking you, God. They keep stepping into the light. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this moment. Thank you for this moment where the enemy's lies get torn down. And in our hearts, we turn back to you. Reveal yourself. Speak to us, oh God. Give us a word. We ask for wisdom right now. We ask for wisdom right now. Join me. We ask for wisdom right now, God. Because you're good. We're not going to be deceived. We're not going to give up. We're not going to be tempted to walk away. Lord, if anything, our faith is going to get stronger. Lord, we're going to get more complete. Lord, there's an answer coming. There's a crown of life for this place where it just feels like there's a curse of death. Thank you, Lord. We believe it as a family right now. We believe it for our loved ones right now. We're not going to give up, Lord. We're going to keep coming to you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that this is a moment for hands to get strengthened, oh God. For the weary to feel strong again. Holy Spirit, move among us. Jesus, thank you. As we're praying right now, I'm going to ask Pastor Nidra to come up too, whether she leads in the song or just kind of leads us in the close. Praise your name. Come on, church family, let's just pray through the darkness right now for a moment. Lord, this we're here to meet with you. You're our answer, God. Come on, we're praying for our loved ones right now. God, you gave us this word. Lord, you're true and faithful, and there's nothing you can't do. And Lord, we're going to consider it a joy to know that this trial is turning into a trail right now, to a trail of more. Thank you, Father, for that. You're so faithful. You're so faithful. And Lord, I just pray, right? I just sense right now some of us came in, Lord, at this moment of temptation, and we're going to leave with a moment of triumph, dear God. Oh, Lord, you've just begun. You've just begun. Thank you, Lord. You've just begun. Guys, we're just going to take a few moments of worship as we do. I just feel like, man, take steps of freedom this morning. Don't shrink back this morning. Take steps of freedom. If you want someone to come and join you with prayer, if you want to just reach out your arms, if you haven't sung a word this whole worship service, you're like, God, my voice, I'm going to call out to you instead of other things right now. Come on, everybody. We've come here to meet with God. We've come here to meet with him and be transformed with it. Lord, see our humble hearts. See the cry of our hearts to love you in this morning. Remind us of the cross. Remind us of the resurrection. Fill us with your spirit. Let it be so in this place now. Thank you, Lord.